Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study in Psalm 119. Today we'll be looking together at verses 145 to verse 152. So let's begin together. Psalm 119, verse 145. I cried with my whole heart, "Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever." Today's study in Psalm 119 is entitled, "The Book of Old That Never Gets Old." And our text for our study, our verse, "Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever." Yes, the Word of God. The Bible is a book of old that never gets old. Now, this stanza deals with prayer and the Word of God. You cannot separate prayer from the Bible. Look with me in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, in verse number 7. Jesus said, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." And of course, Jesus is talking. If his word, the word of God, abides in you and I as believers, then when we pray and when we ask, it shall be done unto you and me. So you see, prayer without the Bible would lead to fanaticism. The Bible without prayer would lead to formalism. Our prayer must have the Bible as their basis. Now, today in our study will consist of three main points, and they are, number one, the psalmist's cry, a plea for God, in verses 145 to 149. Then, number two, the psalmist's consolation, the proximity of God, in verses 150 to 151. And then our third and last point that we'll cover is the psalmist's confession, the permanence of God's word, in verse 152. So let's begin today with point number one, the psalmist's cry, a plea for God. Verse 145 to 149. I cried with my whole heart, "Hear me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment." Now, first of all, the resolution of his prayer, notice, was not half-hearted. The psalmist said, "With my whole heart." You see, heart is the broadest term in the Bible for the totality of man's inner nature. And we'll look at that just a minute. But there are some other things when that God wants us to do, not half-hearted, but with a whole heart. Not only prayer, but also our love. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 6 with me. In Deuteronomy chapter number 6, in verse number 5, we read, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God," notice now, "with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Also, look at in regards to obedience in Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him, notice now, with the whole heart. Also, when it comes to trust, Proverbs chapter 3, notice what it says, how we're to trust in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, in verse number 5, trust in the Lord, notice, how? With all thine heart. And then repentance. Look with me in the prophet Joel. Joel chapter 2, notice, in verse number 12. "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me." Now turning means repentance. "Turn ye even to me," notice, "with all your heart." So again, what I want you to see here is we see that the psalmist, amen, cried out to God with his whole heart, amen. He cried out to God with his whole heart. And not only are we to pray to God, amen, with our whole heart, but we're to love him with all of our heart and be obedient with all of our heart and trust in him with all of our heart and repent and turn to him with all of our heart. Now he was saying that the heart is the broadest term in the Bible for the totality of man's inner nature. Often referred to in the Bible as the inner man, the inner man. Look with me, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, in verse number 16. 2 Corinthians with me, chapter 4, verse 16. We read in the Word of God, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish," amen, that's the flesh, "yet the inward man is renewed day by day." That would be the soul, the heart. So we see that that prayers, my friend, need to come from the heart. Now, heart may refer to the emotions. Look at in 1 Samuel. We have a great illustration here in First Samuel with me. We'll come back to Psalm 119 in just a moment. But look at in 1 Samuel in chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2 in verse number 1. Notice how Hannah prayed. "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine heart is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation." See? Full of emotion, her prayer from the heart. She also prayed with tears. Amen. Oftentimes, the heart may refer to emotions, and we pray to God, and maybe our prayers are full of emotion. That also comes with tears when we pray to God sometimes. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, again referring to Hannah. "And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore." Now again, the heart may refer to the mind, The heart may refer to the mind. Look in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 with me. In verse number 5. Genesis 6 verse 5. We read, And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The thought, amen, of his heart. So again, the heart may refer to the mind. The heart may refer to the will of man. Look in 2 Chronicles with me. 2 Chronicles. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 12 in verse 14. We read, "And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord." And here we see will involved. So the heart may refer to the will. Now, getting back to Psalm 119, we see the resolution of his prayer was with his whole heart. Now, the response to his prayer, "Hear me, amen. Hear me, O Lord," he says in verse 145. In other words, he's asking God to respond to him, amen. And then we see the request of his prayer. He says, "Save me. Save me," in 146, verse 146. Amen. "Save me. Quicken me," in other words. "Save me." The request of his prayer is to save me. Amen. "I cried unto thee, save me, and I will keep thy testimonies." Praise the Lord. Then he says, "Quicken me," in verse 149. And then we see the regularity of his prayer. We see he says that "I prevented the dawning of the morning." Amen. He prayed before sunup. He prayed before sunup. And looking in Psalm 55. Psalm 55 for just a moment. In verse 17. This is a psalm of David. We read, "Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." So we see that David prayed three times a day. The main thing is to have regularity in prayer. Amen. And we saw that the psalmist asked God to hear him. And we have God's promise today as Christians in 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we deserve. Our desire, excuse me, of him. Again, "And this is a confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." And then, again, we see the response, "Hear me," the request, "Save me," "Quicken me." In fact, look at what it says in something interesting here, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever." Amen. The word of God quickens. Praise the Lord. Then we see the reason of his prayer. He said, "I hoped in thy word." You see, our only reason to pray is God's word. The hope of our prayers must be linked to God's word and promises. And hoping in God's word necessitates meditation in his word. See verse 148, Psalm 119. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Now let's look at point number two in our study. The psalmist's consolation, the proximity of God. Look at it in verse 150. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Notice the contrast here between nigh and far. Those who follow after mischief or evil plans are far from God's word. The farther the wicked get from the word of God, the nearer they get to the psalmist in terms of evil plans. Now notice the agency of his friend in verse 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. God is near. When the enemy draws near, the enemy may draw near, but God is nearer. Praise the Lord for that. The pronoun thou is emphatic. It shows the psalmist making a definite and dramatic turn in his thinking. He is turning his back on the enemy and is focusing on the Lord alone. The nearness of the Lord is not an abstract thought. The Lord is present because his word is present. Amen. Now, why does the psalmist refer to the presence of the enemy first and the presence of the Lord second? Perhaps the answer is this. The nearness of the Lord is the final word. It is because the presence of the Lord completely counteracts the presence of the enemy. It is though he puts the minor problem in front of us first and then introduces the major and final solution last. You see, the presence of the Lord is the final thought he wishes to leave with us. Our last point that we want to look at is the psalmist's confession, the permanence of God's word. Verse 152, concerning thy testimonies I have known of old, that thou hast founded them forever. Notice with me also what the word of God has to say in Psalm 12. Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So we have God's promise. Not only has he inspired his word, but he's also promised to preserve his inspired, inerrant, infallible word. Not in the original manuscripts, amen. No, but as found today, we have God's inspired, infallible, inerrant word in the King James Bible. Some people seem to think that God was only able to inspire but not preserve his inspired, infallible, inerrant words. But he says right there in Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, that he would preserve his word forever. Forever. Amen. They're still preserved. And they're preserved in the AV 1611 King James Bible. Now, concerning thy testimonies, the psalmist says, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. What he's saying, the psalmist is saying this, I know that your word goes back a long time, and it is established into the future forever. God's word has been founded of old and forever. It's an old book, but it's a forever book. No matter how many tomorrows will come, my friend, this book will be there. Turn with me, if you would, just for a moment, in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, in verse number 35. Amen. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Praise the Lord for that promise, my friend. You see, the value of a thing is established by the test of time. For example, be it music, literature, art, an automobile. This book, my friend, the Word of God, the AV 1611, has stood the test of time. Sifting sands. Standards are changing. Religions are changing. Amen. These are all sifting sands. Standards are changing. Religions are changing. Building codes are changing. Fashions are changing. Regulations are changing. Man's laws change like the direction of the wind. Amen. Most of you have probably heard of that Al Capone was brought to trial all over again on August the 5th, 1990, in Chicago at the American Bar Association Convention. Today's lawyers were able to take the old evidence from Al Capone's 1947 trial. Back then he was found guilty of tax evasion, 5 counts, and sent to prison. But this new trial, with today's new legal guidelines, he was found not guilty. We see the Word of God is solid support. It's founded, grounded, laid as a foundation, settled, established. God's Word is founded forever. That means that it is unalterable. As God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, so must His testimonies be. We see the psalmist had a superior sense, because the psalmist knew more than Einstein, Freud, or Darwin. You see, they did not know where they came from, where they were going, or what to do while they were here. The psalmist knew these things because he knew God's testimony. Children like to play with bubbles, but men prize that which is solid and steadfast. Amen. And praise the Lord. As Christians, we don't need to spend our time hearing and telling something new, or some new thing like the Athenians of old did. Amen. That's what Paul said, in, if you'll turn with me, in Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, in verse number 21, "For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." It's some new thing, amen, or it is not some new thing, rather, that will bring solutions to our problems. And it's not a new deal, amen, that we need. What we need is God's testimonies of old that we need. God will hear us, God is near us, and God's Word cheers us. See, you can't go wrong, my friend, in sticking with God's Word to guide and direct your life. As we've seen in our study, man changes all the time. His rules, his regulations, his laws change. You see what's happening in this country in regards to marriage. See, people have gotten away from what the Word of God has to say about marriage. If we had stuck with it, there wouldn't be a problem. God created man and woman, male and female. Amen. That's who He created. He created man and woman to marry, to bear children, to have a family. Amen. But now man has disregarded it and said it's okay for male and male to marry or female and female to marry. Amen. And what's happened? Amen. The definition of marriage, God hasn't changed it. It's still the same between one man and one woman. Amen. But man has changed it. And look at the problems as a result of. Man has changed the definition of family. A husband and wife, and if God blesses them with children. Now it's like it can be just about anything that man wants it to be. And as a result, and we could go through the principles in the Word of God. Be it marriage, be it education, be it government, be it how we are to conduct our lives and how we're to act. When we start deviating away from the Word of God, that's when we get in trouble. And the sad thing about it is, not only unsaved, but Christians today are not interested in what the Word of God has to say anymore. And I know it firsthand, because I'm a pastor. People are looking for activities. What do you have? What do you have for me and my kids? See, the Word of God, the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, the singing of the God-honored hymns is not good enough anymore for people. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. For this preacher, they're good enough for me, and I'm going to stick on it. Stick with it, amen. I don't care how unpopular it is. Because I've seen firsthand what has happened, not only in our society, but in churches today, when they deviate from what the Word of God, what God's plan is. See? Even in the church, everything that the church is supposed to do and conduct its affairs and act is in the Word of God. But for some reason, that's not good enough. There's all kinds of conferences and seminars on how to build churches. And how to have a big church. Amen. And how to do church. And how to have a purpose-driven church. Book after book. Seminar after seminar. You know what? I don't need any of that junk. That's all it is. I've got the Word of God. You've got the Word of God, friend. And if you stick with it, you can never, ever go wrong. Thank you. Thank you for your attention today. It's a blessing for you, for who's ever listening to me. I thank God for you.